to a very familiar passage of Scripture in the Bible. If you'll turn to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. Today we want to talk about giants. Not the New York Giants. My daughter's, what was that movie called, Kara? The New York Giants. Something, cartoons. Madagascar, there we go. we're not here to talk about the New York Giants. We're here to talk about giants that are in our lives. Giants that we wish weren't there, but are. And how in the world are we going to conquer these giants? And so, I want you to be encouraged. When you walk out of here today, again, our goal here as we open up God's Word is to be ready to face things in our life that seem to be just too big. How do I beat this thing, right? Well, how am I supposed to conquer this? It's a giant, right? So, the verse on the screen, I hope will encourage us as we face things in our life that are just insurmountable, they seem. May our heart not fail when we look at this, whatever it is that we're going through, may we be encouraged as we face it. Let's ask the Lord for help as we open up His Word now and glean from what the Lord would have us to see today. Lord, we're opening up Your Word. Lord, this is a very familiar passage as we think of David and Goliath. But Lord, it's not just a little story that kids hear in Sunday school. Book, right? They make this book. And it's full of fascinating, statistics. All kinds of things. It's a very fascinating book if you ever get one. It's things that, maybe you're interested in, things you're not interested in. The biggest pumpkin that's ever grown or what. I mean, just crazy stuff. Well, when we think about giants, people's height, to get into the Guinness Book of World Records, you have to, there's got to be somebody there from the company who can verify what you're getting ready to do. You're going to juggle 45 balls. They got to be there and they got to watch you and they're going to time you to see if, you break the record or whatever. Well, according to Guinness Book of World Records, this guy is the tallest guy on record that Guinness could verify, whatever. So Robert Wadlow, this picture here, this is his father, who was the little guy. That's his daddy. Robert only lived to be, if I'm not mistaken, 22 years old. He had various things, obviously that made him grow like this. But I think some thyroid things and various issues. But he was a heavy, heavy guy. His shoe size, man, was like 36 or something. Something crazy. How do you make clothes for this guy? 500 pounds. He almost got to 500 pounds. And as you see, he's not a fat man at all. It was just his height. I don't know if he could play sports. Probably when he was younger, maybe. But as you get to this size, you look like he'd be perfect for your basketball team, right? I think Carolina might could use somebody. But I don't know if you quite coordinated when you get to be stuff like this. But
8 feet, 11 inches. He's a shrimp compared to the guy we getting ready to talk about. This guy, 8 foot 11, I mean, he's, you still ain't up there, big guy. You just a little mite. And so we want to talk about things that are big in stature. What does the Bible say about giants? Where do people like Goliath, who was taller than this guy, what's the history behind giants in the Bible? The first place that we hear of giants in the Bible is way back right before the flood in Genesis chapter 6. When this verse comes up in Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and I did not put the reference there, sorry. This is Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. And the verse reads, "The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, after the flood. When the sons of God," and this is a very big debatable verse. We're not here to debate who are the sons of God. Some believe that they're angels, which may explain where the giants come from. You're going to have to do your own research on that. "When the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. And these are the mighty men who were of old, men of renown." These are the ones that people told stories about. "Do you see that guy? Yeah, that's the Nephilim, the big boys." Right? "These are the mighty men." So they were there before the flood. And they were there after the flood. The Nephilim are also, we read about them a little later. We get into this verse where, "Nevertheless, the people who live in the land, as the people are getting ready to go into the promised land, we're told that they're very strong. Indeed, we saw the descendants of Anak there." Well, who are they? Well, we also saw the Nephilim there. The sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim. "And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight and also in their sight. We were El Shrimpos. We were little." When we looked at the Nephilim and when we looked at the sons of Anak, we were little. What about these guys? God speaking here, he says, "Yet it was I who destroyed the Amorites before them, though his height was like the height of cedars, and he was as strong as the oaks." Giants have been around for a long time. What about these people? "For only Og, the king of Bashan, was left of the remnant of the Rephaim. Behold, this guy's bed was made of iron." It had to be made of iron. Why? Because he was huge. "Its length was 9 cubits. This was like 13 feet. And its width 4 cubits by the usual cubit." 13 feet? And lastly, what about these guys? "The Emim lived there previously, a people as great, as numerous, as tall as the Anakim. And like the Anakim, they are too regarded as Rephaim, but the Moabites called them Emim." These people are big. They are large. They are giants. They've existed from the days of Noah. They've been around. Well, what was their reputation? People were scared to death of them. Look at what this verse says. They're getting ready to cross over into the promised land. And God says this, "Listen, Israel, listen to me. You're getting ready to cross the Jordan today. And you're going to dispossess, you're getting ready to beat these guys. Nations who are greater and stronger than you are. Cities that are great and fortified up to heaven. A people who are great and tall. The sons of the Anakim. You're getting ready to beat them. Whom you know of and whom you've heard the stories. Who can beat these guys? Who can stand against the sons of Anak? You've heard the stories, but guess what? You're getting ready to dispossess them. you're getting ready to beat them. You're getting ready to stand in front of these people. They're huge, and you scared to death. Everybody's scared to death of them. You're getting ready to beat them. That was their reputation. They were unbeatable. They're tall. They're intimidating. You look at them and your knees knock. You want to run the other way. Well, it's very interesting that when Moses led the children of Israel back to the promised land, these giants are waiting on them. The promised land. The land that God had given to Abraham. Abraham, I'm going to give you this great nation. Let me stand in front of this so you can hear me. Abraham, I'm getting ready to give you a great nation. Your son Isaac's going to get it, and Jacob, and then his 12 sons. And it's going to be your inheritance. You're going to get this land. Then they go down to Egypt and stay 400 years. Moses now brings them back. They're getting their inheritance. This is their land. But would they kick out the squatters who were squatting on their land? You know, that's in the news today, right? There's people in, what, San Francisco? There's people who squatting on people's lands. Have y'all been reading about this? They can't kick them out. The squatters say, this is my land. And the people come back to their house. They've been on vacation or whatever. And these people are living in their house. And this is, I mean, it's all in the news. And these people are living there, and they say, what are you doing? This is my house. What are you talking about, dude? This is my, I pay a mortgage. I'm making payments on this house. You're in my house. And these squatters are like, no, this is where we live. That's what was going on here. The children of Israel were coming back to take their land, and they were squatters. And guess who they are? Yep, giants. So they're getting ready to come in, and God says, guess what? Now, you're going to kick them out. You're going to see them. They're scary. They're big. They're tall. You ain't going to want to face them. But you're going to have to face them. What's that got to do with us? Here as we live in Durham in 2023. Did you know that God wants us to live a life to where we enjoy what we have? In other words, the blessings and the promises of God. God wants us to enjoy what He has given us. Look at this verse in Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place. And then the next verse is one long verse. It's like the next 10 verses are, it's one sentence. And he lists, Paul does, all of the blessings of God that we are to enjoy if we've asked Jesus to be our Savior. What are some of those? Glad you asked. We have been chosen by God before the foundations of the world. Are we enjoying that? Are we resting in that? We've been predestinated. Before time, God has chosen us. Going back to the first word. We've been adopted. We are God's children. The children of God. And all that entails. We're His heirs. Joint heirs with Christ. We've been redeemed from the sins of our life. We've been forgiven. We are God's recipient. Look at these. I'm just reading these as right before I came up here. Talking about God's grace. We are recipients of God's grace. We've been given things that we don't deserve. We're recipients of an inheritance that fades not away. It will not rust nor corrupt. Moss will not eat it. And we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of promise. This is our inheritance as we walk this earth. These are the things that we can enjoy every spiritual blessing. And the question is, are we enjoying them? Because you know what? There's giants in the land. There's giants here on this earth. There's giants here in Durham. And they want to rob us of what is ours. Giants. What are they? Take your pick. There's a million of them. Just like we went through a whole list of giants that were in the Old Testament. These things are giants, y'all. Some people can't get out of bed because of their giant. Knowing that they've got to face whatever it is in their life. It's huge. It's huge. It's robbing us of the joy that God wants us to have on this earth. It's robbing us of the spiritual blessings that God wants us to have. These are huge. They look too big. I don't want to face that. That's too big. I ain't got time for that. Makes me want to run when I see this stuff. This is just a little drop in the bucket list right here. We think about our past. Sometimes that's a giant. I don't want to talk about my past. I don't want to think about my past. Dude, I don't really want to think about my future. That scares me. That's a giant. What's going to happen in the future? What about right now? I don't even want to talk about what's going on right now. That's too big. It's too big. It's too big. There's giants in the land. How are we going to beat them? Well, God says, I'll do it. Look at this. Continue on that verse. We just read the first two verses. Look at what this God says to Joshua. To the children of Israel. It was either to Joshua or Moses. I have to reread that. Children of Israel. This is what he says. So be aware today that it is the Lord your God who is crossing on ahead of you as a consuming fire. And he will destroy them. And he will subdue them before you. Now look, I got the two red words up there, right? It's not that we just sit back and say, all right, God, go ahead and take care. Go ahead, God, go ahead. No, 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 no. We're going to have to face him. Whatever that giant is. So that you may drive them out and eliminate them. So here's the giants that everybody's scared of. Right? You forget the verse, right? Here it is. This is the verse we just read. This is 1 and 2. There's the sons of Anak. Who's going to stand against them? Who's going to stand against them? God says, okay, now. I'm going to do it. You got to. Remember our message a month ago when I was here? Don't worry about it. That's okay. I don't either. No, I'm playing. If you remember, we gave an example about playing basketball. And the idea was, if you got Michael Jordan on your team, do you remember? This little quiz for you. What do we do if we got Michael Jordan and I got the ball? What am I supposed to do with the ball? Pass him the ball. A+ for that student. We got to give Michael the ball. When we face problems, we got to give them to God. We got to give him a chance, y'all. We got to give him a chance. But it's a giant. Give him a chance because he's the one that's going to do it. But he wants us to play our part, which in this case would be to stand up to the giant, as David will run to Goliath, as you know the story. God does it. Little David. Come on, y'all. Little David going to beat Goliath? Yeah, God's going to allow it to happen, but David's got to throw the sling. I mean, not the sling, but the stone. Right? So God says, I got this. Yeah, it's big. It's too big for you. I got it. Give me the ball. Give me the ball, man. Well, Joshua goes in. We're getting to David and Goliath. Hold on just a second. Joshua goes in. He mops up. But look at the verse. Then Joshua came at that time. He said, "Let's go, God, me and you. Let's go." And eliminated the giants. Got them. Joshua utterly destroyed them with their cities. There was no giants left in the land of the sons of Israel. Only in three cities. Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod, some remained. Now, does that mean God couldn't handle them either? No. God says, I got all of them. What that means is, evidently, Joshua either didn't go chase them down. That was probably what it was. God just said, all right, all right, y'all got lucky. Hey, I was getting ready to get all y'all. We'll take care of y'all later. I got to go back and talk to my wife. That's probably what happened. You know, we're going to whoop I'm going to get you to give me about another month. Right? That's probably what kind of, God couldn't handle it. Joshua he said, all right, I see where y'all at. I ain't got time at the moment. I got to go back home. So some survived. Did you catch the second place? Gath. That is where Goliath is from. Okay? So now we come to our story. Open up your Bibles, and I hope that you are in 1 Samuel chapter 17. We are not going to read this whole chapter. It is a long chapter. We're going to pick and choose a few verses here and there. Let's start with verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Socoh in Judah, and they pitched their camp at blah, 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 blah. Verse 3. The Philistines occupied one hill, and the Israelites occupied another hill, and there was a valley between them. And a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp, and he was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head. He wore a coat of scale armor of bronze, weighed 500 shekels. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves, whatever. And a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. Man, he's weightlifting out there. His shield bearer went ahead of him. And Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Hey, look up here. Hey, why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are not you the servants of Saul? Well then, why don't you choose a man and have him come down to me? Let's go fight. And if your guy, if he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. Yep, we'll be your slaves. But if I kill him, overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." And then the Philistine added this. "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." And on hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. So let's do 16. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Let's do a little background on this giant. First of all, we see where he's from. He's from one of those cities that Joshua let them live for whatever reason. We're not told exactly in those two verses that I read. Goliath, he's a descendant probably of other giants. Ran into family. His reputation was, did you catch it in verse 4? He's the champion. Unbeatable, in other words, right? Nobody can touch him. In fact, in verse 51, we hear that he's their hero. They probably worship this guy. I mean, he is like, he's undefeated. He wears all the belts. He's got all the championship belts. He is the man. Well, how big is he? He's a big boy. He may have been 9'6". 9'6". The tallest guy in Guinness was 8'11". Weapons. I mean, he's got his strength. I mean, that's his, probably his biggest weapon. He's scaring people to death. But just in case you're a strong guy too, he's covered in body armor. I mean, you're not going to hurt him. I mean, he's covered from head to toe. I mean, obviously, there's a few places that you can get him. He's got a javelin, which was good for throwing. A spear was what you'd keep in your hand. You wouldn't throw that. You'd throw the javelin. The spear was for, you know, kind of holding and poking people. Of course, your sword is for hand-to-hand combat. He's got a guy running in front of him that's got all the shields. I mean, how are you going to get him? This guy's unbeatable. He's the champion. And he knows it. And he don't mind sharing it. I defy you. Come on. Send somebody. I dare you. Come on. Come get some. Come on. I got something for you. Right? I mean, he talking trash. Very full of himself. And this guy would come every morning when they woke up, when the rooster cockle-doodle-dooed, here he came. And when they played taps at night, he was there for the last song. What's that got to do with us? How big is your giant? Does he wake you up in the morning? That's the first thing you think about? He's a big boy, ain't he? He talks trash. The first thing you think about when you wake up in the morning, and it's been going on for a long time. Come on, y'all. We all got them. Let's don't play games. We walk into this building. This is a hospital. This is a hospital, and Jesus is the great physician. This ain't no game. We ain't playing church. This is real. Guys, we got problems. I got them. Ask my wife. She'll tell you I got them. She knows all my problems. I got a lot of them. I got some big giants. So do you. Come on. We got to face them, y'all. We got to, first of all, we got to admit them. What's yours? We got them. And they come, don't they? They come early in the morning. Most of the time, they hang around all day. But the last thing you think about when you're trying to go to sleep at night, that's what you're thinking about, ain't it? Come on. That thing won't go away. And that thing just talks, says, you can't beat me. You can't beat me. And the guilt, right? The guilt that comes from maybe our past or whatever it is. The shame, whatever it is, it just comes on us. And it's heavy. It's heavy. In fact, did you catch what, every time Saul would come, did you catch it in verse 11? Saul and the inhabitants were dismayed. They just give up. And they got terrified. They got scared. I don't want to deal with you. Let me turn on the music a little bit louder. Let me watch this movie again. Let me eat this gallon of ice cream. I'm going to feel better some way. But I don't want to deal with you. Did you catch it in verse 11? They were dismayed and terrified. But let's keep reading. Let's look at verse 20. Early in the morning. All right, let's see what David. Let's see what happens to David. Oh, there's one reverse here at the end. We're going to Early in the morning, David left the flock and with another shepherd and loaded up and set out as his daddy Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions. Now, that's funny. Shouting the war cry. These people are terrified. We're going to whoop you. Yes, we are. We're going to whoop you. Yes, we are. Yeah, that's what they're doing. But as soon as Goliath comes out, they go running. I mean, this is hilarious. Going out to singing their little war chants. I mean, playing games, man. You're playing games. You're going out to the battlefront and you're singing songs and you're scared out of your mind. You don't even believe what you say. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. They weren't doing nothing. David left his things with the keeper of the supplies, ran to the battle lines, and greeted his brothers. Hey, brothers, what's going on? As he was talking with them, here he comes. Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out and shouted his usual trash defiance, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw this man, they all ran from him in great fear. So they're dismayed and terrified. They acted like they're playing war games. Going out to its position. Guys, do we do that when we come here? Are we just playing church? Or do we really trust God to defeat our battles? Are we just playing games? Man, God can't beat this. Too big. Even God can't do this. What? This giant's too big. He's too big. I'm going to go to church and I'm going to sing the songs. What a mighty God we serve. I'm scared out of my mind. God ain't too strong for this. What a mighty God. He can't beat that one. It's a nice song, though. I like the tune. I hope it's not us. But guys, if I'm being honest, we all been there. And we're staring something right in the face and we're saying, God, help me. God, help me. I need you, God. Right? They ran away. Things were so bad. Saul, in verse 25, we hadn't gotten there yet, but Saul even offered, say, look, somebody go fight. Hey, yo, who's going to fight? Who's going to stand up to this giant? Hey, I'll even give you my daughter. You can marry her. I'll give you my daughter. You marry her. Nobody was going. In fact, when David comes to talk to Saul later on, Saul looks at David and says, David, you can't fight him. What is it, David, that you're trying to say? You going to fight this guy? You can't beat him. Have you heard people who have said various things to you? Even God can't do that? 1912, there was a famous boat. Y'all know this story? The Titanic. It was reported that one of the crewmen said, even God can't sink this ship. Right before it went on its maiden voyage and sank like a rock. And sometimes we get advice from even believers who advise us to do something that's, even God can't do that. That giant's too big. You better do this. And it sounds very practical, right? Sometimes practicality stands in the way of great faith. It's not very practical. Come on, man, use your common sense. It's not practical. And sometimes God's saying, who are you going to trust? Mr. Practicality over here, or putting your faith in a mighty God? Right? So everybody's scared. So I got 9 minutes. I got you. Don't want y'all leaving. David was different, and here's the last 9 minutes of the sermon is really what I want you to get. Okay? So here we go. I want you to walk out of here encouraged. That's the goal. I want you to believe that God can do it. Okay? Because he can. We got to pass him the ball. Okay? David shows up. Let's look at verse 32. Let's read 26 real quick. David asked the men standing there, what's supposed to be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of who? The living God. Who is this giant? Think he's bigger than God. Talking all that trash about the armies of the living God. Don't he know that I serve a mighty God? Who is this? Giant, doubt, worry, guilt, shame, whatever. My past, my present, my future. Who is this? Okay, verse 32. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this giant. I, your servant, will go and fight him. And Saul says, you're not able to go fight this Philistine. David, shut up, boy, go on. You're only a boy. And he's been a fighting man since he was a kid. And David said, your famous verses here. David said to Saul, come on, man, please. Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear would come and carry off a sheep from the flock, I would chase it. I would went after it. I would strike it and rescue the sheep. And then that joker would turn around and look at me in his eyes. And when it turned on me, I had to grab it. I seized it by its hair, and I struck it, and I killed it. Man, please, your servant has killed both a lion and a bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine, he's just like one of them. Because he has defied the armies of the living God. He's standing up for God, ain't he? The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me. Not he might. He will deliver me. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Will deliver me from the hand of this giant. And Saul said to David, go, and may the Lord be with you. David says, I'm going to go. Y'all, where's our confidence? Better yet, who is our confidence in? David didn't have confidence in himself. His confidence was in the Lord. Which brings us up to the second thing. When the men looked at Goliath, they saw muscles. When David looked at Goliath, he thought about God. When the people looked at Goliath, they got scared. When David looked at Goliath, he saw God. And said, you just one of them other things that's going to fall. Guys, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. When you're dealing with your problems, you got to keep focused on the one who can beat the problem. Stayed upon Jehovah. Hearts are fully blessed. Finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest, the old hymn says. Stayed upon Jehovah. Keep your eyes on him. Don't deviate. But he's big. I don't care. But he comes every morning. I don't care. He stays late at night. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He remembered what God had done. Guys, we got to remember. Do you have stories to share of what God has done in your life that you can pass down to your kids and your grandkids that they can be encouraged? We got God's word. Those are great stories, and that's what we're gleaning from today, aren't we? Praise the Lord for his word, which encourages us. But what has God done not just 3,000 years ago? What has he done 3 hours ago? We need to know what God has done. What is he presently doing? What giant is he presently defeating? We need stories to remind us as we face the next giant. Come here, boy. Pow! He goes down. God, take care of this next one for me. Pow! He goes down. Lord, I got another one. Pow! and you just keep facing them because they're going to keep coming. Goliath's got brothers. Did you know there's four giants? I don't know if they're actually his brothers, but they're probably in the family that the Israelites would have to defeat. I said another one. One had six fingers and six toes. Y'all remember that dude? He was another giant. But he remembered what God had done. Looking at my clock, 4 minutes. But David also knew. He says, Lord, I'm little. But you know what the word says? When I am weak, that's when you're strong. God, I can't do it. God, I can't do this. But I'm going to go face this giant in your strength. The battle is yours, God. The battle is yours. You got to do it. I'm going to be there. I'm going to have a front row seat. I need you to do it because I want to have stories to share about what you have done in my life. And I will praise him as we just were singing. He is worthy of our praise. All right, just for time's sake, 40 through 51, you know the story. I'm not going to read it. David goes up, right? He runs towards the battle. You know what happens. He does not come, hey, Goliath, look over there, Goliath. You know, he don't do that. He said, hey, all eyes on me, big boy. Who are you, man? You think I'm a dog? You going to come fight me? What if I look like a little kid? You going to come with your little sticks? Come on, little boy. Come get some. And David runs right at him. Goes down there, picks up them rocks. And he's covered from head to toe, but he's still got his face showing. And David throws that sling, that stone from that sling, and kaboom, yow, down goes Goliath. David runs up there, pulls out this long sword. You can just imagine. And it finally comes out, you know, and David's this little teenager, and he cuts off this huge man's head. Well, what are we supposed to learn as we walk out this door? Well, again, his eyes were on God. God, I'm little, but I just have this little small stone, but it's going to bring down with your help. You're going to guide this stone as I sling it. I'm not going to miss, and you're going to make sure I'm accurate, and I'm going to hit that guy right in the forehead where it counts. And God, everybody's going to know that there's a God in Israel. God is for your praise, not so they'll praise me. Oh, what a good slingshot shooter David is. No, they're going to be pointing at you, God, because you're the one that brought down Goliath, not me. All eyes on you, God. All eyes on you. That was David's motivation. All eyes on God. All right, let's be encouraged as we walk out of here. 2 minutes to go. Guys, the Bible tells us all things work together for good. When those giants come, you may not have asked for that giant to show up in your life. Maybe it's a consequence of a decision that you made. But maybe it's not. Maybe it's just life. It's just life, man. It's life. Life's not fair. Our world thinks it should be fair, doesn't it? Life ain't fair. But all things work together for good. How am I going to defeat this giant? God's given us many precious promises. We have got to know the promises of God. If you don't know the promises of God, you're going to shake and tremble and run in fear. You've got to know the promise. Call on me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. That is a promise from God. We got to know his promises, then we got to lean on them. We got to lean on the promises of God. God's given us his armor, doesn't he? That's why we fight him. We can't just sit back and say, God, handle it. We got the armor of God. We got to have the shield of faith. God, I'm going to block off the fiery darts of the evil one with my shield of faith. I'm going to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and I'm going to fight, and I'm going to use the word of God, and I'm going to use the word of God to defeat this giant every day. And when he comes at me, I'm going to block him with the shield of faith. Give him the Bible, block with faith. Give him the Bible, block with faith. That's how you defeat him. God says, I ain't going to leave you, man. I will never leave you. I will never let you down. That's a promise from God. Be encouraged as you face your giants. Nothing. This is a promise. This is a promise. This is a promise. But he's 9-5. I don't care. I can beat him. Pass me the ball. Face your giants. Face them. Don't run in fear. We're exposed. There's no body armor for our back. We have the breastplate of righteousness on the front. We are exposed if we run. Face the giant. Come here, boy. God's got something for you. I'm going to use his word, and I'm going to block whatever you throw at me with the shield of faith. Let's do battle. And may God give us stories of how mighty he is. And man, when we sing that song, may we remember the things that God has done, the stories that we have now. What a mighty God. And you say, yes, God, I remember that time. When was it? Last year? No, it was last week. God, what a mighty, and you remember that. And all of a sudden, your songs become from the heart for real. And you're not playing church. I'm not saying you are. I'm saying that these people in the Bible, they were playing battle, weren't they? They were playing with little toy guns. We're going to beat you. We're going to beat you. Ah, and then they run. God don't want us to play church. He don't want us to play church. He wants us to do battle. And he wants to get the glory as he defeats our giants. What a mighty God we have, y'all. He's wonderful. I tell you, I'm right there with you. I got giants in my own life. I got giants looking at me right now. I do. Come on, y'all. We're just skin and bones, aren't we? Leaning on Jesus. We need him. We need him big time. Let's give him the ball. Let's give him the ball and let's see what God will do. He's a mighty God. I would be remiss. Give me, please, a minute. I know you're ready to go jump into K&W lines. I would be remiss if I did not say something about the giant of facing death and possibility of going to hell. I don't know you. I know very few of you. I don't know your past. I don't know where you stand with the Lord. If you were to walk out of this building today and a car would hit you, are you sure that you'd go to heaven? For some people, that's a real giant. That's a real giant. And boy, Jesus, he went right to the cross and he said, Satan, get behind me, man. I'm dying on the cross for Mr. Jeff standing up here, and for all y'all. All his sins. He's a sorry dude. This guy right here, he's sorry. Glad you don't know me real well. Sorry. And I'm going to die for him. And if this guy right here puts his faith and trust in me, man, he's going to heaven. If he puts his faith and trust in my shed blood on that cross, I'm going to die for him. I'm going to raise back to life. And if Jeff puts his faith in me, I'm going to heaven. He'll go to heaven. Have you made that decision? You can do that right where you sit. And again, that's the biggest giant of all. And I'm so glad that Jesus is my Savior. He's a wonderful Savior. If you're not sure, we'd love to talk with you. So it's the best thing in the world to know you're on your way to heaven. Let's pray. Lord, this is a familiar story. I mean, David and Goliath. I mean, we heard this when we were 5 years old. But Lord, those giants they just seem like they get bigger. I mean, they ain't just 9 feet tall. They're just huge, just casting a huge shadow over our life. And they just keep coming every day, every morning, every night they show up and they talk trash. God, we need you. And we want stories to share, Lord. We want people to praise you for what you can do. Lord, help us to give you the ball. Help us not to hold on to the ball and be scared and take our ball and go home. I'm not playing anymore. Help us to give you the ball and to fight the fight of faith. God, we need you. Lord, thank you for your word. Speak to us, Lord. Encourage us, Lord, as we leave here. In Jesus' name, amen.